Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we give you praise through the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray you would just touch each person here as we look into your word. You would speak to us in a powerful way that we could just be able to understand who you are in a greater way. I pray you'd anoint me, that I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you open each heart that they may receive of the Spirit, God, and so that this would be, you know, just comes to mind that these verses could be just life-changing because you've said them. So we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians, okay? So we're going to look at Colossians and a verse in Colossians, I should say. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Colossians 1, 17. And it says this: "And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together." Now, when you just look at this and take for what it says here, that Jesus was before all things, and all these things hold together because of Jesus. And what this means, it means that Jesus is both the unifying principle and the personal sustainer of all creation. You know, sometimes we look at God created the world and just kind of walk off and he participate. But no, he's the creator and he's the sustainer. He sustains it. So what we have here is that, and what we understand is that, what we understand here, since Jesus holds the, we'll make some personal application, all right? Since Jesus holds the creation together, he will also hold us together in whatever we're experiencing. Right? I mean, he speaks the word, all of creation, and he holds it together. Well, then, if he can hold the world and the creation together, he can hold us together in whatever we're experiencing. You ever feel like, or even say, I'm just falling apart. Everything's falling apart, you know. Or I can't do this. I just can't do this. Well, see, what's the Lord's hand? No, Jesus will do it through us. He'll do it. No, we will not fall apart. We'll not fall apart. Why? Because Jesus has this, and he'll work it to his ends. And that's as a believer what we understand. Now there's a very similar verse which is fascinating, and it's in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. And let me read that. Very similar. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. It says this: Jesus, and by the way, you have all the names of the world, then you have Jesus. All right? Jesus doesn't come under anybody else. He's the Word, okay? He is the God of the universe. He is the creator. He holds everything together. So in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 it says this: Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. You say, well, what does God look like? What you do is you look at Jesus. If you recall, Philip said that. When Philip, one of the disciples, was with Jesus, and he says, Jesus, show us the Father. And he goes, Philip, haven't you seen me? See, he is the exact reputation. He is the exact model, person, picture of Jesus, of God. Jesus is. So when we see Jesus, we see what the Almighty God is. We see that in him in a fleshly form. So it's fascinating when we look at this. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. It's just like, well, he sustains it, he created it, and he upholds it. How? By the word of his power. His word did this. Now, Jesus, and again, we will make some application. Jesus, who upholds the universe, will uphold us. You know, it's like, well, if he can pull that off, he can take care of me. He can take care of my situation. And that's the view that we have of Jesus. Sometimes we have a little Jesus, and sometimes we have a big Jesus. I was doing a, for the kids one time, I was doing a little Christmas thing. And so, you know, I've shared before, I don't teach a lot of kids. It just somehow, you know, I do better with adults. And so I'm telling them about Jesus. And this little girl, and they're sitting around and have a Christmas tree. I says, do you know this is about Christmas? Yes. And she says, and I said something. You have a big Jesus or a little Jesus? Now, you know, I should have known better to say that to like 5-year-olds and 6 years old. And the little girl says, he's little bitch Jesus. He's little bitty. He's about this big. Yeah, he's under my tree. And he's about this big. Okay. That didn't work out too good. So God said, no, I'm a big Jesus. Spoke the word. I created all the universe. Everything is under me. Everything is under the name of Jesus. There's no name above Jesus. So we have a big Jesus, all right? And the big Jesus that created the universe and keeps it sustained can sustain us. Can sustain us. And that's what the Bible is saying here. Now, so we see Jesus, by his word, he upholds the universe. And it's very much like creation, if we think about it, how this is connected. And in the beginning, when it says, in the beginning, God, and it says God created, and God spoke the word, and the word came into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So when the creator, God, speaks the word, it comes about just as he said it would. Said it would. It came about. See? And that's how creation came. And that's what these two verses are. Jesus is before all things, created all things, and he holds everything together. He spoke the word. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I'll have an overhead, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, the word, through the word, the worlds were created. Through the word, the world, how did it? Jesus spoke it. See, and so we're getting a view what this verse is saying. He's before all things, and he holds all things together, holds all things together. Now, the same way that the word created, the word sustains. Now, think about that. And this is where it's really important. It's like, well, you can believe on the Lord Jesus, and you don't have to believe that the word created. You can believe in evolution. You can believe anything you want to. But if you believe what the Bible says, that in the beginning, and you believe that God spoke the word and the word created, then you have a bigger God. You have a bigger Jesus. And what you have here is you have anything Jesus says comes into existence. Comes into existence. That's the reason Jesus says, you have this mountain in front of you, speak to it, I'll cast it away. And you go, well, what? How can you do that? Oh, by the way, I spoke the word and created the whole universe and that mountain. So I can cast it away because I created it. See, the mindset totally changes when we look at this about who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. And so, his word, it says Jesus is the word, and his word created, and his word sustains. And he calls the scriptures also his word. His word. Now, if you think about this, it's the magnitude of it is a little overwhelming. And you think, okay, well, this is going on, and how does this really function? And the majesty and the power of God starts becoming a little overwhelming. Like, oh my gosh, he really can take care of this. There's a verse I like in Job that kind of, it kind of communicates the depth of who God is. And in Job chapter 34, is he the creator and he sustains all things. Job chapter 34, verses 14 through 15 says this. If God should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath. Not like say, if God decided to hold his breath. Okay. If God should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. You know, God spoke the word and created all things, sustains all things by his word. And he's saying this right here, if God ever holds his breath, everything will disappear. Think about that. God will destroy Noah. He didn't have to come to destroy. He's got to hold his breath. He's just like, I'll just hold my breath. It'll all disappear because I sustain it. See, that's what this verse is saying. It's like, all God has to do is just take a deep breath, hold it. We're done. We're toast. Okay? So, and I'm making a point there. It's just to grab the magnitude of what the scripture says, the magnitude of who our God is. And if we're thinking along that lines, we can look at our personal situations a little different. And we can say, Robert, just rejoice in God that I'm here. Because if he holds his breath, I'm gone. Oh, God, keep breathing. You know? So it's just kind of fascinating. So God sustains the universe, and he keeps it all going. And there's another thing we just add to this. It says that the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 said that scripture is inspired or God breathed. Scripture is God breathed. It's scripture is God's breath. See, it's like you read the scriptures and God to breathe on you. It's his breath. Well, I don't understand it. Whose issue is that? Okay, he'll tell you. You continue in doing that. And so his breath holds things together. So we see this guy, he's breathing, and his breath holds things together. And so as we read the scriptures, we have some of his breath coming on us where we have a knowledge of who he is. It's as if God, again, it's as if God, scripture is inspired, God breathed. We're here because God breathed. Now, I'm simplifying it, but I'm just coming down to this one point, which going back to Colossians, Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. And we're here because he breathed. He spoke. We came into being. Now, do you think there's an element of majesty that he can take care of everything? He can take care of everything. So I hope, and again, the point is to share this is for our perspective when we say the name, when we call out to God, Abba Father, when we call out to Jesus, to understand who it is we're calling out to, who it is that's taking care of everything. And again, all God has to say, all God has to do is to speak to our situation, and it will become as he speaks. He says, I say the word. He has to say the word. Now, so as we grasp this, we try to understand, okay, the majesty of God, which is beyond comprehension, let's talk about us as believers. Because the world includes everybody, all right? Everybody running around doing all their stuff, you know. They don't know this. I mean, a lot of the church doesn't know this, but I'm telling you what's going on, that I got this thing and I'm working something out here. But then he throws something in here. It's fascinating. He throws his church in here, which is different from everybody else. See, because he tells his church the truth, and they start understanding it, and then they are functioning based on what God's speaking to them. I was reading, I don't know why, it made me think of this. Do you have any of you on your, where you live or something, that'll have a neighborhood, you know, like a little chat or something? And so I put, and so, you know, they're looking for their dogs and cats, and, you know, somebody broke out their lights and all that. So they just flipped through, kind of funny. And this, I don't know who this person was, but they were really ticked off at people who believed in God. I mean, I don't know what motivated them to say what they said. You know, it came like, can't find my cat, can't find my dog, and can you help me out? And by the way, anybody and somebody else, I don't believe in God, and anybody who believes in God is absolutely ignorant. Yeah, so it caught my attention, so I read the whole thing. And it just went through. He says, there's no proof of God, and there's no proof of his being. There's no proof of miracles. And all that people are, they're ignorant, they're backward, and you should, you know, not have them in anything in society. And I thought, oh, my goodness. oh my Lord. I mean, his view is a hair different from my view, you know. And you look at this and it's a, you know, you're going, one day, God's going to look at him and hold his breath. You know, I mean, that's all he's got to do. You know, all he'll do, he has to hold his breath. Be separated forever from the living God. And so it's like, but the church is different. The church knows. And that's what the Bible does. The Bible tells us about God. He tells us who we are. His biggest problem with the church is God, is us believing who God tells us we are. That's the biggest problem. Well, I don't know about God. Well, no, oh, God's great. It's the problem. It's us. We don't believe who we are in God's eyes. And so what God does, he comes into this world with guys like this. There's no miracles. There's no thing. You should be off the planet. I would never believe you. Totally ignorant. And God says something totally different. And he says, I'm going to take you into my kingdom. And when I take you into my kingdom, you'll be able to experientially operate in my kingdom, in my power. See, that's what the church does. He reaches down and he redeems us, and then he sustains us so that we can experience, and the word care is important, experientially show the power of God. See? Not just, I'm saved, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. That's good, but there's a gap in between. And he wants us to experientially experience him. But, and we'll see in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14. So, we're in this world. God spoke, created everything. All these people running around doing all sorts of stuff, you know. And then God says this. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, there's some words there you need to pay attention to. He's delivered us, okay? From what? From what? The dominion of darkness, and he transferred us, delivered and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, Jesus, who created the world and sustains everything, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. So the one who spoke the word, created the world, and sustains the world, redeems us, brought us back, and forgave our sins. Why? This is church. This is the church. So this is where we are. And the church knows who God is. See, we know now. And now Jesus is busy. He says, now I'm going to teach you how to behave. This is who you are. I want you to act it out. See, and that's what the Bible does. He wants us to act it out. And each individual, he has us here for a particular reason. So it's like, it's fascinating with this. And again, I don't want you to lose track what I began with. Jesus created, Jesus sustained. Jesus was before all things. He breathed and we're here. He holds his breath. We disappear. Anyway, that's the last part's mine. See, so what we have here is through Christ, God forgives us and redeems us. God himself rescues us from the dominion of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his Son. He does it himself. He does it. Now, as believers then, and this is important, as believers then, we are in the kingdom of his beloved Son. And that's what that verse says. Now we're in his kingdom. He redeemed us, forgave us, delivered us, transferred us. We were in the kingdom of darkness. Now we're in the kingdom of light. We're in God's kingdom by what God did. Now process this. So you're standing here, don't know Jesus. Someone shares the gospel like that. I believe in the Lord Jesus, you know. But we're standing here, what, in the kingdom of darkness. Totally darkness. But someone shares the gospel. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're transferred into the kingdom of light. I hadn't moved. I hadn't moved. I'm still in the same piece of dirt I began in. I hadn't moved. But I've been transferred into a different kingdom now. There's a different kingdom. Now, and it's important, and these are my words to make a point, right? We're standing on a piece of dirt in this world, all of us, all right? And he says, you're in the kingdom of darkness, right there. I won't be in this piece of dark dirt. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're transferred into his kingdom. Now we're in the kingdom of light. But we're standing on the same dirt. Well, why that's important, because you say, hey, this is kingdom living. You know, hallelujah. Well, what is kingdom living? Is we're walking on the same old dirt as everybody else is. But we have come into a kingdom which we understand what God is doing, and God now is using us as light into that darkness. So now he's using us. Okay? And so we got a clue. All these people running around dark in darkness on the old dirt. And he picks out these people. And all of a sudden, they're light on the same dirt. But it says we're in the kingdom. We're immediately in the kingdom of his son, spiritually. But we're on the same dirt. Y'all with me? Now, what happens, what the Bible also says, that at the end of times, Jesus will come back and he will wipe melt. I just read this morning, it happened to be in 2 Peter, and he says he will totally destroy with fire the whole world and create a new heaven and earth. By the way, there will be a global warming. There will be a global warming. And it's not going to be because you threw the trash in the ocean. It's going to be because Jesus comes back, all right? And then nothing anybody can do about it. There's a global warming coming because Jesus. And so he burns everything up. And he reestablishes the earth, the heavens and the earth. And he said his kingdom has come. His physical, earthly kingdom has come. We're already in it, so all we have to do is step in it and live it. Because we've got the kingdom in the old dirt. See? And that's where we get upset, because we want the old dirt to be the kingdom. We're trying to make the old dirt the kingdom. And he said, no, I'm going to have this kingdom that I'm going to recreate. And that's the kingdom of God. And that's the new dirt. That's the new dirt. Okay? But you're already in the spiritual kingdom. You've been redeemed. And I'll take you from the old dirt to the new dirt. And it'll be everybody be happy there, because it's new dirt. And all the old dirt and old evil people are gone. That makes sense? See? But that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So what God does, he is the creator before all things, created all things, sustains all things. Then he speaks, and these people have fallen away from God, the dominion of darkness, and he speaks and brings his people into his kingdom of his son, and we become light into darkness, standing in the old dirt. Now one day he's going to come back and give us new dirt. But we're the kingdom now. See, now, okay, yes, we're stuck in the flesh, we're doing, okay. But no, we're in the kingdom now, right now. Because he says, I will deliver you from darkness and transfer you in the kingdom of my dear son, which is eternal. We're in an eternal kingdom. And what the Bible's doing, he said, now I want you to act like it. But we're all upset about the old dirt. That's what we're upset about. And all the people, why are they doing that? They don't know Jesus. That's why they're doing that. How could anybody think? They don't know that. Why didn't everything perfect? Because it's not the new heaven, new earth. But I've put you here to be light. But they don't listen to me. They ain't listen to me either, God said. You know what Jesus said? You love this, but Jesus. Jesus said, I just want to tell you something. They hated me, and they're going to hate you. That's a verse. He actually says it twice. They hated me, so they're going to hate you. Well, but I want to be friendly with everybody. You know. And what do you do wrong? You're light. You speak the word. It automatically sets you apart because they recognize you're in a different kingdom. But we're all on the same dirt. Same dirt. It looks like evil is taking over. Is it going to? No. Because all God's got to do is hold his breath and it's gone. You see, so the dynamic we understand of the world in which we are living in. So as we look at this, and the reason I make a point about this, about standing in the dirt in the dominion of darkness. Then you're over here and you're standing in the same dirt in the dominion of light. What changed? We did. The dirt didn't change. But now we bring light into that dark dirt we're standing on. All right? So that's what God's telling us here. So he wants us, don't behave like everybody in this dirt and in darkness. You behave and know who you are. And I'm telling you through the scriptures, which I breathed. Oh, by the way, I breathed and created the dirt, and I also breathed and created the scriptures. Pay attention to what I'm saying, because I breathed it. I breathed it. So anyway, this is what God is telling us. Now, there is a verse, and I'm going to share this verse because it really helped me to understand how anybody standing in the old dirt, you know, can have the kingdom of God work through you and bring the presence of the kingdom to the old dirt. All right? And by the way, when we stand someplace in the old dirt and we're standing there in the kingdom, we actually make the old dirt the kingdom. You know why? Because we're there. We're there. See? All we have to do is show up. Now, when Jesus came from the world, now just imagine this. He created the world, and he came into the world, and the world he came into rejected him. And there's a verse for that. Actually says that. Can't you believe? Well, isn't that a lot of nonsense? You know, but that's what happened. And he says it. He who created the world came into the world, and the world he created rejected him. But what Jesus did, he was a picture of the kingdom, picture of goodness, picture of the power of God, did exactly what God said and exercised all God's power. So when Jesus showed up, the kingdom showed up. You know, wherever he went, he showed up, the kingdom showed up. Why did the kingdom show up? Because Jesus was there. Right? Now, today, where does Jesus dwell? Wait. In me? Anybody amen that? In us. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus indwells with us. So when we show up, Jesus shows up. The kingdom shows up. Just like Jesus. Y'all following the logic here? Now, so we have, this helps to understand the world, what's going on, understands our place in the world, and how we are light into darkness, and that darkness dispels, that light dispels darkness. Do you know darkness? I think Ron said this the other day. Darkness doesn't dispel light. It doesn't. Wherever there's light and darkness, darkness is dispelled. So all light has to show up, and it dispels darkness. See? And he says, you are the light of the world. See? All this is fascinating to me anyway. All right? So, but anyway, I'll give you a picture of how the kingdom works on this earth. You want a picture? All right? Now, what I'm going to go to, a perfect example. So if we see a perfect example, we see how the kingdom shows up perfectly now on this old dirt. All right? Now, we're not perfect, and so we don't do it perfectly, but we know what perfect is, and so we move in that direction. Amen? Okay. Look at the kingdom coming perfectly. Perfectly. Who does it perfectly? Jesus, right? Matthew 12:28. And there's several other verses like this. We just don't have time to go through them. Matthew 12:28 tells us the whole thing right here. The whole thing. But if it is by the Spirit of God, I cast out demons. Okay, that's what Jesus said. He cast out some demons. Okay, and he said, if I did that action by God and cast out a demon, I did the work of God and I cast out demons. So I want to generalize that. If we do the work of God, if we call upon God and he moves us to do anything, you know, that's what Jesus says. I was an avenue for God to cast out demons. So when we become an avenue for God to use us, listen to this. But if it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is upon you. How did the kingdom of God show up where Jesus was? Cast out a demon. See, when Jesus came into the darkness, the light dispelled the darkness, and he cast out the demon. He is the kingdom of God, and where he comes is the kingdom of God. And when he comes, he does the work of God. And when people see the work of God, they go, there's the kingdom of God. See, Jesus was standing in the old dirt. He's in the old dirt. But when he stood in the old dirt, and when he exercised what God told him, he brought the kingdom. In the light, the demons fled. What he's telling us, we're in the old dirt, and when we step in the old dirt and we call upon God and speak forth what God says, the kingdom comes, it dispels darkness. That's what the church, you are the light. When we do anything based on who God is and for the Lord, we bring the kingdom. Why? Because we're here and we're doing what he says. How did Jesus do it? He was there and he did what God said. Jesus says, I do nothing except what the Father tells me. And when I do what the Father tells me, I dispel light. I bring the kingdom and I dispel darkness. My light dispels darkness because I do what the Father tells me. What is the lesson? Do what the Father tells us. Do what he says. And when you do what he says, you bring the kingdom and you dispel darkness. Oh, I'm going to do this for the Lord. Okay, that's bringing on darkness. This is going to let you know. It just ain't going to work well. All right, because that's not how God works. When you listen to me and do what I tell you, whatever it may be, and then when you do what I say, it brings the kingdom and it brings light. Amen? That's how it works. Why am I in this terrible situation? It's just so dark. That's where I put light, where it's so dark. I want to go where all the light bulbs are. You know, I don't like it in here, being the only light bulb in this closet. You know, no, don't need any more light bulbs. I have you there. I have you there. All you shine, I'll come, I'll do, I'll bring the kingdom. Are you with me? Now I'm oversimplifying it, okay? I really am oversimplifying. But that's how God tells us all through the scriptures what he's doing. We bring kingdom of light into darkness. The Holy Spirit working through us brings the kingdom of God to the situation we are experiencing. When we show up, Christ shows up. The kingdom of God shows up. This all goes back to our previous studies about God transforming us, renewing our minds. What do you think he's renewing? He's renewing my mind like some college kid so I can pass calculus. No, that's not what he's doing. He's renewing our mind to know that when we listen to God and do what he says, the power of God works through us and we bring the kingdom. That's the renewing of the mind he is talking about. That's the renewing of the minds. And we talked about you have to have the mind of Christ. I bet Christ knew calculus. You know? No. The mind of Christ is I only do what the Father tells me. See, those lessons of activity and making decisions are so that we understand so we can hear God, step into God's presence, hear him and do what he says, and bring the kingdom. That's what he's telling us, and so we can renew our minds. Now, we learn to hear from God and do what he says. That's faith. That's faith. Oh, I'll have faith based on what? Oh, I'm just trying hard, you know. Not going to work. Faith is you hear what God says. Hearing. Oh, by the way, James says if you hear and do nothing, your faith's dead. Why? Because you heard and you didn't do anything. But if you hear and you do what he says, he goes, that's faith. Because you believed me and you did what I said. Also, there's another way. He said, I just have faith and I'm going to do it. That's presumption. God never blesses presumption. Because we would say, hey, look at me, I did it. But faith, I can't do this, Lord. What do you want me to do? I'll do what you say. So I do it. That's faith. You give God the glory. So hearing God and doing what I say, that is faith. Jesus had the perfect faith. I only do what the Father tells me. I mean, so this is, so you get it down, but who is it? This is the only thing that, I shouldn't read this stuff. These people drive me nuts, okay? But it's just like, you know, I don't want anybody, I heard this, I don't want anybody saying that God spoke to them and they're in a public office. Because I don't want somebody hearing from God and doing, you know, something God tells them, not on their own wisdom and knowledge. And you'll get what you prayed for, buddy. Yeah? The whole evidence of the world is that. The whole evidence. But that's the thing. There's such a separation. Men's wisdom trumps God's wisdom. And it's just totally foolishness. Now, so what we have here, our transformation is necessary to exercise the kingdom of God now in this world. Grow in grace, grow in faith, grow in knowledge. What is our knowledge? Oh my God, you hear God, you do what he says, and he'll work through you. Lord Jesus, growing in grace, growing in knowledge. And you do this, that actually worked. Oh my God, it actually worked. And you go there, and he teaches you more. You continue to grow in faith, grace, and knowledge. And the verses tell you to do that. And how do you do that? You have to experience what you know, step out into it, and he'll reveal more to you. Reveal more to you. So, as we do this, we'll find out that we are exercising God's kingdom. And by our presence, the kingdom of God is presence. Because we're hearing God and doing what he says. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God's come on you. The Spirit of God came to me, and through the Spirit of God, I cast out a demon. Therefore, this kingdom came. Y'all follow me? And that's a lesson to us. Oh, wow, man, Jesus is good. That is fascinating. I'm going to go Hobby Lobby and buy me a big cross and put it, you know, over my bedroom. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. I got a ring with the cross on it. I love it. But that's not what God's taught me. Hey, you know, do that. Jesus did it, but he's going to show you to do that. That's the lesson here. Jesus showed us the perfect man. Jesus didn't show us, you know, have to come and show us God. We can read the whole Old Testament and see God. What he came to show us was man. And that's why he's teaching us. Have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Now, so the whole thing here, we're saved by grace, but we have an assignment while we're here. We have an assignment. And our assignment requires a decision on our part. And again, it doesn't mean, okay, your assignment's to be president of the United States. Or your assignment's to the... No, your assignment is to live out Christ in your particular situation and what he's telling you. So we all have an assignment from God, but that assignment requires us a decision on our part. And when we make the decision to fulfill our assignment, we will face struggle. That's how you're going to know it's God's assignment. It must be God because everything's working out. Okay? Hallelujah. But the assignment, when God tells you to do something, it's going to entail struggle. You're going to have struggle. All right? Look what it says in Colossians. Same chapter it says Christ created all things and sustains all things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul says, for this I toil. For this I toil. Struggling with all God's energy that God powerfully works in me. Now, think about that. I'm struggling with all God's energy that's working within me. Well, I'm thinking if God's energy working in me, just doing it, I'm sailing, no problems. But that's not what he says. I'm struggling with all the energy that God powerfully works through me. So what is he telling us here? Now, the literal word for struggle is the one in which we get agonized. I am agonizing with all God's energy. It's like, what? See, in our assignment, we will agonize with all God's energy. It's going to take a decision on our part in which from within our physical being, it's going to produce an agony as we carry that out, as we carry out all God's energy that works through us. That's what it says. So, I mean, this helps because some of us say, well, this is just too hard. I mean, this is God never intended this. God, you're not helping it. Oh, I mean, this is, I can't do this. You know, Lord, you know, give me the soft spot. You know, give me the soft spot. Yeah. Well, see, there's a struggle in receiving God's energy. And now, by the way, that's just what that verse says. Like, okay, just letting you know. But it's like, okay, well, what could that be? See, the struggle, the agonizing struggle that we suffer with, the agonizing struggle is to believe God and do what he says. That's agony. We won't quit. See, it's like, God, it ain't worse. This isn't working out. No. See, the agonizing struggle is to believe God and do what he says. Have all the energy of God, but say, God, you ain't working here, or you're working way too slow. Way too slow for me. You know, this is hard. This is hard. No, you wait. I'm moving. But you got to stay while I'm moving. The struggle is to open our hands and give our situation to God. Now, I got to take care of this. Can't let that go. I got to do that. I got to hold that. So, no, you got to let me have it. Agonizing to back up and to release that situation to God. Believing that God's going to do something when everybody else tells you you're crazy. It's agonizing. See? Agonizing with all God's energy within me. God, the whole world says I'm wrong, and you're the only one saying I'm right. God. Most often, our struggle is to persevere. That's the struggle, to persevere. It's like, God, no, I'm doing it. Can't you see it? But no, this is hard. Persevere. I'm doing it. See, that's our struggle, and it's all God energy working in there, but we got to stick with him and not quit. This means not facing our situations through our own natural power, but by the supernatural power at work in us. You see, all God's energy that powerfully works within me. That's where it's coming. Where's it? It's in you. Who's in you? Somebody tell me. Who's in you? Holy Spirit. Christ. And we're struggling with that. It's coming from within. See? Now, it's an energy that powerfully works. And that word is, this one word, it means energizes. So here we have this energy that powerfully works is energizing. So the energizing is coming from with us. That's the reason we focus on the Lord and what he says. He created all things. He's the sun in all things. That's where our eyes are. And that energy works within us. And we struggle to keep it there and give it to him. The entire statement shows that through faith in Christ, we can link our life with a source of strength that enables us to rise above our natural limitations. Because our natural limitations will tell us to quit. And so what we do, and the Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. It says in Romans 8 that that's what the Holy Spirit does. It cries, Abba, Father. See, need the energy, Abba, Father. And you know, you read all through the scriptures, he'll say, pray and ask in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. You got to ask, why? He is the creator. He is the sustainer. God, I need your help, creator and sustainer. So acknowledge who he is. energize, the energy that comes from within. And we toil in that to keep our eyes focused on Him. In Colossians in chapter 3, it says, our eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Or it says, fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus holds everything together. Jesus holds all our situations of life together. This is the supernatural energy that works through us in the Holy Spirit. Our struggle is often dying to self-effort, not focusing on self, persevering, and then moving in the Holy Spirit. But do you see what we're doing? All of a sudden, we have to have the vision of, no, God created everything by His Word. He sustains everything by His Word. Therefore, He will sustain me, because all God has to do is speak it, and it will be just like He said it would be. And so when our understanding is that, then we have a capacity to struggle with all His energy when He's doing something bigger than we can imagine. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to read this verse again. I've read it like the last three Sundays. But this, we have an understanding of what the Apostle Paul says. When the Apostle Paul has got a hold of this, then he says these words. Okay, I got it. It's not me, it's you. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, I'm going to just ask you, how much self-effort is left? He said, I've been crucified with how much self-effort? How much power? How much wisdom? How much? It's gone. I've been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live. I mean, that kind of does it. You're not even alive. You have no input. You have no input. It's like, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. I'm somebody else. I'm in a new kingdom. And then wherever I go, I bring that kingdom. And nothing's too hard for me, because I just hear God and I do what He says. And I just watch Him do it. Can't do anything to me because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm not alive. It's Christ who lives in me. Do you see the transformation of thinking? Not even talk supernatural power living within you, but just the transformation of thinking. And by that thinking, allowing that power to work, we bring light into the world and it dispels darkness. Amen? That's the church. That's the church. A lot of the rest of it is just human effort to do stuff. God, that's not what I called you for. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you hold all things together. You know, the older I get, the more I see, I don't hold anything together. And it becomes very obvious that when I was younger, I didn't hold anything together then either. I just thought I did. Lord, it's amazing to look to you and knowing that you're working all these things for your good. And we hang on the one name of Jesus. The one name of Jesus. It is Jesus who created. Jesus who sustains. It's in the name of Jesus we call out all things. Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, to have our eyes set upon Him, to rejoice in Him, and that, Lord, know that He loves us so much that He paid the penalty for our sins, that we'd have a home in heaven, and that one day that we're going to experience the physical, earthly, recreated heavens and earth, and we will be placed in that, Lord, that you recreate. But you'll still be God. We'll still be your servants. We'll still worship you. Then, as we do here, now. We thank you, dear God. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.